continuous of old landmarkism. The first two messages were messages designed to answer some of the objections that people have against the teachings of old landmarkism. I tried to explain those things that they accuse us of that are not true at all. And we tried to prove that from Scripture as well as history. Last week's message, I started a little bit different tact and went in a little different direction. Now we're looking at the distinctives, doctrinal distinctives, of Baptists. What belief system, what doctrinal teaching characterizes New Testament Baptists from the times of Christ up until today? Now, last Sunday night, we dealt with maybe the very most important of all distinctives of Baptists, and that is the authority of the Scriptures for all faith and practice. Baptists believe that the Bible is our rule, is our guide, is our book of instruction, teaching, both doctrinally and practically. And now many Protestants will say, yes, but we believe in sola scriptura. You know, supposedly that was Luther's watchword regarding the authority of the Scriptures. But in reality, if you hold to any form of work salvation, you don't have the Bible as your authority, because the Bible doesn't teach that. If you believe in any form of infant baptism or unscriptural immersion, like the Campbellites for salvation, you really don't hold to this truth of only Scripture. So, this is the thing that has characterized Baptists through the ages. Now, tonight, John chapter 3, and when I said that, you should already know what it is. Don't worry, John. I'm looking at you, but I'm not going to call on you. All right? John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in to the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The second Baptist distinctive, as stated here by Jesus Christ, is that regeneration, or the new birth, or being born again, is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you'll notice something here. In verse 3 and also in verse 5, it implies something about the sinner, the natural man. Notice, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Meaning that he is blind to the reality of the kingdom of God, God's rule in Christ. He's blind to that. He's in ignorance. And then you'll notice in verse 5, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, implying that the natural man, the sinner, is impotent, incapable, unable to enter in because he's dead in trespasses and sins. The very idea of regeneration, this quickening, this new birth, has to do with an act of Almighty God creating spiritual life in an individual who had none, who was dead, who was in darkness, who was unable, who could not see the glory of Christ, who had no desire to repent and believe. God must bring him to life. There is no such thing as a self-birth in the physical realm. Babies just don't pop up out of the asphalt. You know, man being dead in trespasses and sins is entirely passive in the new birth. He is the recipient of the new birth. Man receives this spiritual life as an act of direct creation by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit creates that new man. After the in righteousness and true holiness, after the image of God. Now, just as there is no such thing as a self-birth, there is no such thing as a self-birth in the physical realm. People aren't born of themselves. Notice, you didn't come into this world by somebody giving a formula how you could create yourself. So it is with a new birth. Jesus does not give you a formula how to be born again. Here are the steps for you to follow in order to be born again. None of that. He says, listen, if you're not born again, you're not going to be able to see the kingdom of God. You can't enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born of the Spirit. And then he gives you the author of the new birth, the Spirit of the living God. Now, contrary to many modern day heretical notions, listen to this carefully. I know I stress this a lot. I want you to be straight. I want you to know what you believe and why you believe it. And this is an essential, important doctrine. Repentance and faith are the results of regeneration. Repentance and faith are the results of the new birth. Not the causes of the new birth. There must be spiritual life implanted by the Holy Spirit before the spiritual graces of repentance and faith are exercised. You understand what I'm saying? Dead men can't do anything. Now, that doesn't reduce or eliminate their responsibility. Because men are morally dead in trespasses and sins, that does not dismiss them from repentance and faith. They are, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. So they're still responsible. However, God has to give this new birth in order for men to turn from their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The new birth is entirely a work of God, apart from the participation, the cooperation, or the decision-making processes of the natural man. True Baptists have always stood firm on this principle. Now, I hope you know where I'm going with this. Regeneration does not come from the ordinance of baptism. Regeneration does not come from the free will of man, quote unquote. It comes from God. It's not your decision-making process. It's not your cooperation with God. It is a work of the sovereign God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Arminian Baptists of our day who practice the heresy of decisional regeneration have unwittingly rejected this sacred doctrinal stance of historic Baptists. And I'm going to give you some scriptures to prove that regeneration is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit apart from the free will of man or the ordinance of baptism. Now, I'm going to quote these because I've already got them printed out. But don't get lazy, all right? Pay attention. And you ought to know these. John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name. Now notice what He says. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He's saying that the source of the new birth is God, not of blood, not your hereditary. It doesn't come to you by your genes. Not by the will of the flesh. What is the will of the flesh? What is the flesh? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. The will of your flesh has never, ever, nor will it ever produce anything that's right or true or holy. It'll never give you spiritual life. Nor of the will of man. It's almost as if he is emphasizing the fact that the new birth does not in any way originate with the sinner. He is the recipient of the new birth. It comes to him from God. And with that spiritual life immediately comes the repentance, the turning from sin, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other side of regeneration is conversion, our response to the new birth. All right, we just read John chapter 3. And again, you can't get any clearer than Jesus saying that you have to be born of the Spirit. Romans 9:16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Ephesians 2:8 through 10. Everybody knows Ephesians 2:8-9. Most people don't quote verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What does that mean? We're His workmanship. That we're created in Christ Jesus. We are the product of the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. It comes from God. Ephesians 4:23 and 24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, there's a part of you that is entirely new, that did not exist prior to the new birth. All you had was the flesh. That's the only nature you had. And the Spirit of God created in you a new man. That new man was created in righteousness and true holiness. Because this new man, this new nature, this spiritual life that you have been given comes from God and is what enables you to commune with God, to fellowship with God, to talk to God, to listen to God from His Word. Without that, you don't have spiritual life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And I'm not mad about this. But I will say that if you listen to most modern day preaching today, they make the new birth a convoluted thing. that's owing to man's ability or his decision or his following in order a certain step. That's not it at all. The new birth comes from outside you. You don't have it. It has to come to you by the power of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God that work which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." You see, the new birth is according to God's will, not man's will. It's according to God's sovereign will. And then 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Every single one of those verses relate to the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit as exercised in the new birth, when He gives spiritual life. Now, how does this happen? Well, the Spirit of God gives life. And immediately after the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life to the dead sinner in regeneration, then the gifts of repentance and saving faith are exercised by that newly born sinner in response to the preaching of the gospel. See, this is what separates us from hard shells. We believe, yes, regeneration entirely a work of God. We believe that we are responsible to preach the gospel so that men, women, boys, and girls know who the object of faith is to be. And until you're born of the Spirit, you won't exercise repentance. You won't turn from your sin. You won't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the order is clear. It's unmistakable. There must be spiritual life imparted by the sovereign Spirit before the exercise of spiritual gifts. If you're dead, you can't exercise these spiritual gifts. You have to be alive spiritually. Now, true Baptists have always believed in faithfully carrying out the Great Commission, as stated by Christ in Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15-20, Luke 24:45-53, Acts 1:8. Why is this so important? Because Baptists believe in preaching the gospel to every creature. But we go out, we knock on doors, as opportunity arises, we tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That salvation is in Christ alone. That you must believe that He died for your sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. There's no other way of salvation. Our message is clear. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. Now, if decisional regeneration was at work, we would actually present the message and then pray to the sinner. If it was up to them, if we really believed in decisional regeneration, we would pressure them. We wouldn't get off their doorstep, because it would really be up to us to convince them to decide. But that's not the way it works. And I'll tell you this, you foul up a lot of things when you try to get people to make a decision like that. God has to work in them, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I think a whole lot of false professions have been made trying to get people to do something really against their will. When you get right down to it, God has to slay the enmity of their will, the hostility of their natural condition against Him and the gospel. And that is only done in the new birth. But we take the message far and wide, believing that God is going to give life to those that He has chosen, that Christ died for. And I believe there are multitudes all over the world who are going to be born again. I don't know who they are, but I know that they're out there. That's why we go. That's why we witness. Now, we believe in preaching the gospel to every creature, depending upon God the Holy Spirit to regenerate the elect and commanding men everywhere to repent and believe. I like what Paul the Apostle, I think he really summed up the responsibility that Christ had given to him. If you'll turn over to Acts 26. Some of you look like you're kind of dozing. Go ahead and turn there. Acts 26 and verse 16. This is what the Lord told Paul. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send to thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." This is our responsibility. We have to rely on God to give spiritual life in the new birth. This is what Baptists have always stood for, have always believed. Now, as I've done in it with each one of these messages, I want to show you why this is such a distinctive doctrinal position maintained by Baptists. We are different from Catholics and Protestants. And I'm going to explain why. You see, Catholics and many Protestants, I won't say all of them, attribute sacramental or saving qualities to the ordinance of baptism. Well, that logically denies that regeneration is solely a work of the Holy Spirit. If you say that people are born again by baptism, that's not the same as being born of the Spirit. It's not the same. It's not equal. It's not right. And that's probably the reason why they burnt people like me back in the Dark Ages. Why they burn us at the stake? Why they cut our heads off? Why they would put you in prison and knock all your teeth down your throat so that your mouth would be filled with infection and you'd die from it? That's what Catholics did. That's what Protestants did by order of their church against the Anabaptists. Well, they insist on baptizing unbelievers to make them believers. Baptists have always believed and earnestly contended for repentance, or for regeneration, repentance and saving faith prior to the administration of scriptural baptism. That order is never to be disrupted or reversed in any way or added to. Regeneration, repentance, faith. Then that believer presents themselves for baptism. And not until. Now, I'm going to give you who, you know who the two major Protestant reformers were? You know who they were? That's a rhetorical question, Brad. I can already tell you're worried about me
this long silence. Martin Luther started, many attribute him starting the Reformation, the Protestant movement. All right? Who's the other one? John Calvin. Luther in Germany, Calvin in Switzerland. Here's what Martin Luther, the Protestant ringleader, the founder of the Lutheran Church, wrote while he pastored the church in Wittenberg. This is not done by changing of a garment or by any laws of works, but by a new birth and by the renewing of the inward man, which is done in baptism. That's what old Martin said. As Paul saith, all ye that are baptized have put on Christ. Also, according to Titus 3:5, for beside that, they who are baptized are regenerated and renewed. That's not what Titus 3:5 says. Those who are baptized are regenerated, renewed by the Holy Spirit to a heavenly righteousness and to eternal life. There riseth in them also a new light and new frame. There riseth in them new and holy affections, as the fear of God, true faith, and assured hopes. There beginneth in them also a new will, and this is to put on Christ truly and according to the gospel. We believe and confess that baptism is that sea into which the bottom whereof, as the apostle saith, God doth cast all our sins. It never says that in the Bible. Now, John Calvin. He's the guy responsible for starting the Presbyterian Church. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things that Martin Luther was right on. All right? But there's a whole lot of things he was wrong on. Like killing Anabaptists. That's pretty wrong. Now, Calvin said this regarding baptismal regeneration. We agree that sacraments are not empty figures, but do truly supply whatever they represent, that the efficacy of the Spirit is present in baptism to cleanse and regenerate us. Now, he says that the Spirit is in the water, in that baptism, when they're putting the drops on the baby's head, because that's what the Presbyterians did. That's what Martin Luther did. Now, these two guys, Protestant heroes. In fact, if somebody's listening to this message and they're saying, Brother Ross, how could you say something against Martin Luther and John Calvin? It's easy. They were wrong on these points. Now, this is strange language indeed. From men who profess with the mouth that salvation is by free and sovereign grace on the one hand, and then consider baptism as a sacrament on the other. Now, time doesn't permit me to go into the confessions of Wesleyans. John Wesley started the Methodist Church. Campbellites, the Church of Christ started by Alexander Campbell, and Charismatics to prove that they don't believe what the Scriptures teach concerning the doctrine of regeneration. Baptists alone have earnestly contended for this blessed truth throughout the ages. Now, I'm setting a foundation for you. Why we do what we do. Why our practice as a New Testament church. Why we operate in a certain way. Because you've got to go by what the Scriptures teach. Next week, another very simple doctrine. Believer's baptism. Now, I may get into another one because I was studying that today and writing some stuff on it. And since I've covered this in such depth in other series we've done, I'm just going to give you some scriptures about believer's baptism, because when we really get into the heart of old landmarkism, we got to really examine why we don't receive alien immersion as Baptists. But we're going to do that in a later date. So next week we'll do that, and then the religious liberty. It's another thing Baptists have always been known for. These are things that set us apart. You need to know it. We need to know why we're Baptists. Why we stand how we do. All right, let's all stand.